We broadcast today from MPAC, which is, of course, part of Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute.
Our next guest, Dr. Mary Simone, was named Dean of the School of Humanities, Arts, and Social Sciences at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute in October 2011. Previously, she served as Associate Dean for Research and Community Engagement and Professor in the School of Music, Theater, and Dance at the University of Michigan.
Last year, she published a book that serves as a guide for musicians and composers learning to use algorithms to create music, a field which she is an expert. Simone is an accomplished pianist and has performed at MPAC several times since joining the Rensselaer faculty. She also sits on the MPAC steering committee. She joins us now. Dr. Mary Simone, a delight to have you with us. Thank you so much.
I am thrilled to be here. Thank you.
And you're a WMC listener,
right? I am.
I love that.
Well, that is wonderful.
You guys start my every day.
Well, that's great. What brought you from Michigan to here of the idea of this place and its mission and what was going on?
Oh, I'll tell you, there's a lot of opportunity here, and that's exactly what I saw. This building that we're sitting in, MPAC, has capabilities like I've never seen in the performing arts. So there's, because as you read in my bio, I'm pretty high-tech, you know, in music, and I got the backstage tour of MPAC when I came through, saw all the interconnections of how you could run video, audio, data, everywhere in the building and then out to the world, and I said, I got to be here.
Wow.
And there's a, I mean, there's a playground aspect to that, right, where you can just go and do what you want. The creativity isn't limited by technological means.
Yeah, and that's the part that's really, really, I mean, the infrastructure of the building's amazing, but what's also amazing is the technical capabilities of the staff that are here and the kinds of things that they can do to try to realize new genres, new works of art, those sorts of things that are really hard for one person alone to actually be able to do.
So is this necessary to sort of slow down, you know, the decline which we see in classical music in America to have this kind of operation?
I don't know. You know, it's interesting that you say the decline of
there's
classical
premise,
music.
There's because, a premise there, right?
Yeah, because I don't think classical music is in decline.
Really?
I think the audiences are changing. And I think what David Allen Miller is doing is exactly the right thing and what needs to be done by commissioning young composers, by looking at different ways to integrate different kinds of music like scat and jazz and electronic and, you know, whatever, and to try to build your audience in creative ways by crossing genres.
So far be it from me to contest that, but when you go to the Boston Symphony or to SPAC, you see more gray hair than you used to. I'm just sort of wondering about that.
That is true. And being that I have gray hair, I might be one
no,
of those
yours
people.
Isn't really that gray.
Thank you, Alan. It's a good thing we're on radio. No one would be able to contest that. But, yeah, it's true. I mean, you know, there are people that, you know, I write music myself, and a lot of times people talk about, you know, they lament the fact that the symphonies of, you know, America are on decline and that everybody just wants to hear the top 40, Tchaikovsky, Mendelssohn, on. And that, you know, there's a reluctance to take risk in the programming.
Yes, yes.
And so when you have a nice mix, like the Albany Symphony Orchestra does, where you have the classics and there's great respect, you know, for our musical heritage, but you also give voice to the new people that are coming through, that's a really wonderful thing. And I wish more orchestras were doing it.
So let me ask the question of how students fit into that. So as a dean and working at an institution that is a research, technological research university, so how are you as a dean able to fit that mission in to create that audience of the future, to have that understanding, not only the artists, but the audience itself?
Yeah, so that's a really good question and a very difficult question because especially at a place like Rensselaer that's, you know, has a very strong tradition of excellence in training and in the STEM related disciplines, science, technology, engineering, and math, there is on this campus a very vibrant community around the humanities, arts, and social sciences. So what we've found is that there are nearly 100% of our students who are coming in as freshmen have played and studied classically. And so really it's a way to get them engaged when they come in the door. not just with new music, but also new visual arts, new media, those sorts of things. And so we're doing a couple of things to address that, which will eventually lead to audience development. This is a very long, audience development's a very challenging problem, I'm sure.
That's why they call it development.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, you know, they get exposed to these things early on. They understand, just like David said, you know, you may go to a concert and love two pieces and hate one, and that's okay, you know, just like a gallery. But to have the language and have the open-mindedness and the aesthetic sensibility to make judgments regarding what you see and what you hear is really what educators are supposed to be doing. And so we have new programs for students that are just coming in the first year, and to try to get them to open their eyes and ears to a number of issues. And we're also in the progress of developing a music program because the Rensselaer students really want one.
That's great. You know, a lot of people talking about how in the States, classical music may be on some of the decline that I mentioned before, but that in some of the Asian countries, it is not quite the opposite. Do you notice that with students coming here, with those with the Asian backgrounds, that that there's a difference?
I actually, you know, being dean, it has its good points and its bad points.
Yeah, what are the bad points?
And one of the bad points is that I don't teach.
Yeah.
Because I spend a lot of time doing the administrative support in order to, you know, facilitate the work of the faculty. And so I don't really know students as well as I did when I was at Michigan.
Yeah.
And one thing that I noticed is it depended on what kind of field a student was in as to where, you know, and where
sure.
their home country was as to the kind of skills that they brought, you know, to the educational and learning environment.
So I'm curious as to, I mentioned in the introduction, you've written books on this, of creating, using algorithms to create music, algorithmic composition, A Guide to Composing Music with Nyquist mm-hmm. is your book. So how are you able to continue that? Do you do that within the confines of your job as dean here?
And could you tell me what Nyquist means?
Oh, sure. Wow, I'll do that in 5 seconds, but it's actually really complicated. But Nyquist is a program that was written by Roger Dannenberg, who's the co-author on that book.
So it's a computer program.
Yeah, it's a computer program. Okay. And it's named after Nyquist, who wrote a very important theorem in digital audio.
We used to have an education commissioner who was Nyquist, but that's all.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
They're related. So...
So how do I do all this and that?
Well, I mean, is that part of it? Like in the sense of when you come and you're at work and you're here at this place, do those worlds collide?
No, not at all. I mean, part of the reason why I'm here is because there's such a synergy between what Rensselaer does and my own work as a composer and musician. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, one of the things that really drew me to this is that I may have to explain what algorithmic composition is to some of my colleagues in Ann Arbor, but I sure as heck don't have to explain it to anybody at Rensselaer.
Right.
They understand that, yeah, okay, so you write computer programs, and what it does is it kind of extends the kind of musical output that you can create that you may not have created by your own. So
I don't understand.
Okay, so an algorithm is, so what is an algorithm? Okay, so an algorithm is really anything you do to complete a certain task. So you probably had to go through a bunch of stuff, Alan, to get here on time today, and you go through algorithms every day. You know, yeah. You get up, you get dressed, you go, and you're here, and you've successfully completed your algorithm, and we're here at this table today. In algorithmic composition, what you do is you program computers using a sequence of steps, just like you got here to work today, and to complete some particular end result. So, you know, I might do things like explore different kinds of collections of notes. I might do things to explore different kinds of rhythms and how those rhythms come together, how they're juxtaposed. I might do things to experiment with harmony and melody. And those things are all good because they push me in a direction that my brain and my body might not have put me.
But you're still writing. It's not the computer doing the writing. You're doing the writing.
So this is a pretty controversial area. So What I do is I look at what the computer gives me. I make aesthetic decisions. You know, I make decisions based on the quality of the music. So I might produce something that's absolutely to play. It would take three hands to play it on the piano. Or I might, yes, they're going to have trouble with. And if I'm writing for a high school group, then I'm like, yeah, that's cute, but it's not going
to
work.
So can I ask a stupid question?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's not stupid. But will we get to a point where the computer program knows that it'll take three hands to do that, and it has to do something that only takes two?
Yes, probably.
Okay.
And a lot of there's an excellent artificial intelligence research group here on campus, which is another reason why I'm here, because I'm really interested in artificial intelligence and music to answer questions like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've written programs that say, okay, I want you to look at the music of Bach and find me a cadence. And so you have to figure out, okay, what is a cadence in Bach, especially a contrapuntal work, and what kinds of things come together to make that happen? And if you can figure out what those attributes are, then, of course, you can program a computer with some accuracy to make that determination.
So I want to ask you the question, which is a little off topic, but I have asked virtually every conductor or performer here in this question. Who is the greatest composer of all times?
I don't think there is one.
Really? There must be somebody. You mentioned Bach. Most people say Bach.
Well, for me, each composer does certain things for me. And it's not just that.
You love all your children, but I know, but I need to have an answer.
Well, and you love them all at different times, right? So one of them might totally trash their room, and you might not love them as much as the one that just took out the trash, right? So so it depends on what I need, you know, I'm looking for,
but unacceptable,
in the composer, right? So if I have to do a system reset, I do Bach.
Yeah.
If I want to look at piano virtuosity, I look at Liszt, I look at Chopin. Right. So it just depends.
Hmm. All right, we'll accept that.
Okay.
You can, I don't.
Well, I only accept it because we're out of time.
Oh, okay.
All right, so for that, we'll accept it. Dr. Mary Simone is the Dean of the School of Humanities, Arts, and Social Sciences at RPI. It is such a pleasure to have you here and have you part of this broadcast, and also to showcase a little bit of the great work that you're doing here.
Yeah, thank you
terrific.
So much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Vlad.
A delight to have you here.
You're all terrific, too. Have
thank
a good
you
one.
Very, very much. Coming up next, we're going to meet some composers who will be in the firing line tonight. We'll find out about what they're up to next on the Roundtable.